Sometimes the issues of life leave us with questions, difficult questions. Today, Pastor Ray Bentley points out God can be trusted.
Why does God allow fill in the blank? I don't know. I've learned that whenever I face a situation that I don't know, I can always fall back on what I do know. And here's what I know from personal experience. Put it to the test of my own life. God is love.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We wish we could understand God and His ways, but a God that was small enough to understand wouldn't be big enough to meet our needs. Today, Pastor A points out how the Father and His love are sufficient to carry us through anything, any worry, any question, any challenge. Here's Pastor Ray to begin.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." He says, behold, what manner of love. And so what kind of love? It is agape love. And I want to share with you this word, the Greek word for love that is here. When it says, behold, what manner of love, the Greek word for love there is agape. And what is this agape love? And I want to read to you some of the things that it says in the dictionary about this word agape. It said, this word agape, this agape love, is the essential word of Christianity. And since the Holy Spirit of Revelation chose it to express ideas previously unknown, only the life of Jesus Christ can shed light upon its true meaning. If you want to know, well, so okay, agape love, that's God's love. What is that? Look at Jesus. And the supreme demonstration of agape love is right here. When Jesus died, when Jesus gave his body, and when he was nailed to the cross, that is the love. There's no greater love. That is the greatest expression of agape love. And in fact, the New Testament says that our Father in heaven will be unveiling or revealing or explaining or giving us the benefits of that one single act of agape love for eternity. In that one act of Jesus voluntarily laying down his life, the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of the love of God have come to us. Another expression says, it is the exercise of the divine will in a deliberate choice to agape love someone without any assignable cause to the individual except from the nature of God. God is love, burning, powerful, shining, emanating, focused, intense, after you, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Agape is a love so great, it is from another world. You could write in your notes. It is otherworldly. You've never been to this planet. You've never been to this country. You've never seen this kind of love, except through the expression of Jesus, who loved us and died for us on the cross. I want you to note this. God, the true living God, is unlike anyone you have ever met as a human being or ever known. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, I put into your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together, shall we? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We have the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and He is not a spirit that gives you fear. Oh, no, God. He's a spirit that says, Daddy, Daddy. He is constantly drawing you, just like a little baby that with its little tiny arms reaches by instinct. It doesn't even have to be taught to reach up its little arms and hands to be held, to be loved, to be hugged, to be touched, to be nurtured. So also, we have been given a spirit of adoption. not of fear, whereby we cry out Abba. Abba in Hebrew means daddy. It's a very affectionate and intimate term. Now, look with me in verse 2. He goes on again, beloved. He says, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's talking about the second coming. When Jesus comes, you're going to see him. We're going to see Jesus. And when you see him, you will be transformed into his image, and you will be like him. I believe he's like his glory, his resurrection body. We are God's children, and he's going to reward us and bless us and lavish his grace and mercy upon us in such a beautiful way. So what's going to happen is a complete transformation. So note this, the Father's heart, his goal for you, his heart is complete transformation. Okay, read with me 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It hasn't even entered as a thought in the heart of anyone on this planet what God has ready and prepared for you. When you see him, and you're made to be just like him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. What he goes on to say is, but he's beginning to show us. Even while we're here, while we're saved, while we have the Holy Spirit in us, he gives us little glimpses of the heaven to come. And I share with you today that on a number of occasions in my life, I have had glimpses that are divine. The glory and the love and the joy. It's like for a moment, and it can be at different times and to varying degrees, sometimes through worship and singing, sometimes just reading the Bible, sometimes a thought, sometimes an emotion, sometimes a supernatural experience, where all of a sudden, for a few moments, I am gone. I am in this place of heavenly joy and ecstasy that is indescribable. And it just makes me say, Lord, I want to know, I want to be with you now. I don't want this to go away. And he's, you know, it never remains. So that longing and that yearning is always there. The whole creation groans together with us until we get our redemption. To wit, the Bible says, our new bodies. So we desire it. So that's where John is comforting and encouraging the believers then. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It hasn't yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed at his coming, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so what do we get? We get these experiences, these tastes of heaven, but we also get something that is very powerful and profound, transformation. God is all about transforming you, changing your nature. Many people think that being a Christian is learning better some code of what's right and wrong and then managing the best you can your sinful little life. That is not Christianity, period. It has nothing to do with Christianity. And then a lot of people, because they think that's Christianity and they try to manage their sinful little lives and it's hard and it's no fun, it's not rewarding, and they chuck it and say, well, I've been there, done that, and tried it. And I go, no, you haven't. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You just tried religion. Jesus, if you saw him, know him, and he reveals himself to you, and you get transformed on the inside, that's the life. When you say, I don't need that, I don't want that, that is a dead tree to me. I'm not interested. I've changed. I am a new man, and new things have taken place in my heart. So I want you to note this, transformation. I mean, I'm sure you all want this transformation. Become more like Jesus is what transformation means, but it is a painful process. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but that's what Jesus said. said, you want to be like me? Yeah, Lord, we all want to follow you and be with you and see these miracles and be your disciples. He goes, okay, let me tell you what it's like. Pick up your cross every single day and die to yourself. Now, he wasn't asking literally, physically to get nailed. He's talking about inwardly what it'll do to your insides. You're going to be like being crucified to the old ways. It's a painful process, but it's way worth it. Just as you die to more things of the old life, it gets replaced with the new resurrection, life, presence, and power of the Lord. So note this. Transformation is a painful process. It is about breaking patterns, habits, and strongholds, and replacing them through transformation with new patterns, new habits, and new strengths. Amen?
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. Maranatha Radio is a listener-supported broadcast, and we love hearing from listeners who appreciate the help they get by tuning in to these programs.
Although I can neither give regularly or very much, I have not forgotten you. Ray Bentley's teaching is very insightful, and he really brings the Bible to life. Thank you for all you do, and I hope you'll remain on my radio station.
If you appreciate these daily studies, we hope you'll let us know. And your support helps us cover the costs of bringing these programs your way. Write us today, would you? Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, zip code 92127. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Romans 12:2, let's read it out loud. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can prove by living it and experiencing it. You can prove by your own daily life as it unfolds and you follow the will of God and say, I have proved it was the best life that I could have ever lived. It's the best life for my marriage. It's the best life for my family. It's the best life I could have with my friends. It's the best life with everybody that I would know. It is the best. You can prove the will of God. Looking into the mirror, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, interestingly enough, the Bible is likened to a supernatural mirror. But here's what's different about a supernatural mirror. Normally, you look in a mirror and you see you. What's amazing about this supernatural mirror is when you look into this mirror, you see Jesus. And the more you read, and the more you grow, and the more you get a right view of him and correct all the nonsense that somehow this world puts in our heads, and get the truth, that's why Jesus said the truth will set you free. This picture of Jesus that appears in the mirror of his word gets sharper and clearer, and the clearer you see Jesus, it automatically has the power to change you that much more to be like him. So you go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, originally, we were made in God's image. We have lost the glory that we once had. I think if Adam and Eve really, if they walked in, we go, wow, we've really gone south. Those guys were amazing. But at the same time, you know how I think the angels look at us? They look at us like, if you go to Italy and then you see the Colosseum. I've been to the Colosseum. I've seen it. And there's something hard to, it's hard to put into words. It's rather breathtaking. It's this ancient, old, it's got all this charcoal and dirt and everything, but the ruins, and there's people just standing looking at it, and then there's people painting it, and then there's people drawing it and writing about it and taking pictures of it. Why? It's like this thousand-year-old building that used to see 50,000 people. Why? Because even now, several thousand years later, beaten down, there's a patina through the aging process that you can still see the remnants of the glory it once had. In fact, one of the descriptions of it is glorious ruins. I suggest to you that when the angels look down, they know what Adam and Eve looked like. They were there when God made us in the beginning, the prime models, as it were. But they see us today, and they still are in a little bit of awe and respect. And Peter says even they want to look into the things, what God does with us, he has never done with them. And the relationship we have with him, to call him Abba, Daddy, something unique to the bride of Christ, they're beholding glorious ruins. That God one day says, I will restore to the glory, the former glory that they had from the very beginning. It's pretty amazing. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has yet not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Final verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There's the motivation for holy living, to be like Jesus. What hope? That Jesus could come at any moment. I don't know. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But I do know this, he is coming back. He said, and I will come in an hour that you least suspect. He said, and therefore pray and watch and be ready. For in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, I will come. And then it's too late and it's over. And now you're standing and we'll be accountable for your life. And therefore, this is one of the most purifying hopes within the church. Jesus coming at any moment, and that I will be immediately changed to be just like him. And that's what keeps me from doing a lot of things that I shouldn't be doing or otherwise getting involved in or wasting my time on things as opposed to that which will make a difference for eternity. I want to use my time for his glory. Amen. And how does God purify us? Basically, mostly through trials. Wish there was another way. But he uses trials. And what kind of trials, if I've heard this once a million times, I've heard, why does God allow, fill in the blank? And while with each individual, why did God allow this person to die? Why did God allow this person to get cancer? Why did God allow this financial trouble? I don't know. When I was young, I used to try to answer everybody's question. I don't anymore. The honest answer is, I don't know. I don't know why God allowed that. But here's what I've also learned. I've learned that whenever I face a situation that I don't know, I can always fall back on what I do know. And here's what I know from personal experience. Put it to the test of my own life. God is love. And though I don't always understand what he's doing and how he's working, and there's so many things that run over you and stab you and hurt you and are painful, I don't know why, but I do know that God is love and loving. And sometimes he allows painful things in our lives, even here and now, that will spare us maybe even a million times something that is worse down the road. God views parenting from eternity. We want him to fix it now, but he is more interested in developing our character for eternity than anything else. And so with that, let's close. So if you bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to say a prayer. Everybody that knows the Lord, let's pray out loud. And those that want to recommit their lives to the Lord, and maybe you're here thinking about being a Christian or checking it out or just listening or came with a friend or whatever. Jesus honored those. He said, hey, count the cost. Before you build a bridge, you count the cost. So before you become my disciple, he said, count the cost. Now, some of you may say, okay, so what's the cost? What does it take to be saved? I'm done looking. I'm ready to begin. And here's the deal. For salvation, you begin with that you are a sinner. And that's a Bible word, and it basically means anything less than absolute perfection. That ought to be like the most obvious thing for all 6-7 billion people on the planet to admit. That's the first point of the good news, is that we're broken. And that we can't fix or save ourselves. And that you are sorry for the things you've done wrong and are willing to repent. All repent means is turn around. I'm willing to, I've been going with my back to God. So think about it. God's light and I'm walking this way, I'm going to darkness. God's joy, I'm walking this way, I'm walking to depressing things. So you're turning around and facing the Lord through Jesus. But Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So I'm going to say a prayer in just a moment. And if you mean it, and if you're serious and sincere, listen, Jesus has always been with you. You know, he was there from the beginning and all the way through your life. And he has probably protected you a few times more than you can count anyway. And here you are now. But you'll never get it until him being next to you is not the same as him being in you. That's where it begins. That's the beginning step. That's when you're born again. When you say, come in, and you ask him to forgive your sins and believe that he died on the cross for you and rose from the dead, and ask him to come into your life. So let's pray out loud, if you're willing, and if only if you want to. No one can, you know, be forced. It's an individual. A relationship takes two. He wants it, if you're willing to open the door. Pray with me out loud, all of us who are willing, after this manner. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner, I am lost, I am broken, and I am sorry for everything I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Thank you for paying for my sins. I open the door of my heart, and I ask you to come into my life, to be my personal Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse me in your blood. I receive the gift of eternal life. Now help me to follow you, Jesus, all the way to heaven until I see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with a prayer that brings us into a relationship with God. And if you've prayed that prayer today, we want to help you begin to live as a follower of Jesus. Get in touch with us at the mailing address we'll pass along in just a moment, and let us send you some free follow-up materials. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 John on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we hear from people who listen to your studies each day, and they might be surprised at how much those letters, those emails, really encourage us.
Yes. You know, look, we put the radio on and we put it out, and it's free for everybody to enjoy, to listen to, hopefully to get blessed and encouraged. But it's not like when I am at my church and there's people that walk up and say, oh, I thank you for this or that point that you made, or God really touched me here, there. And I love seeing people, meeting people and whatever, but on the radio or online, it's invisible. I cannot tell you how powerful it is. Nobody writes letters anymore, but you know, the smallest thing, if you contact us, if you call us, if you email us, if you write us a letter, send just a little card. Hey, it would be very, it means a lot to me. I see them, I read them. Dave, we try to pass that on to our people here and to the staff and the people that behind the scenes. It's a lot of people that bring this all together. I can't tell you, it means a world of encouragement that we're doing something that's actually making a difference. It's small, maybe to you, but like in our church, when somebody comes up and they go, oh, hi, Pastor Ray, and then I go, well, how did you hear about Maranatha Chapel? Well, I started listening to you about 3 years ago on the radio, and finally, I realized I live in San Diego. I could actually go to your church. I go, wow, it's nice to meet you. That's kind of what it's like. Not everybody throughout the country can actually be here in person, but you can write a letter, you can send a note, write an email or whatever and communicate to us. It just is encouraging. It goes such a long way that it's making a difference in somebody's life somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. So we hope you'll get in touch today. You can write Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com, or we'll give the mailing address again in just a moment. And keep in mind, to those who can send a donation right now, we want to send a copy of Pastor Ray's new novel, On the Mountain of the Lord, co-written by best-selling author Bodie Taney. It's a thrilling story that also uplifts you in your faith. So send your donation today to Maranatha Radio,
10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 John. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.